Tonight we're going to begin with Sing Alleluia. If you need a bulletin, they're on the back chair or an order of worship. Let us begin tonight. Stand if you feel like it and are able. As we lift our voices to God. Tonight, blessed be your name. You may have heard on the radio, or you may have it on a praise and worship CD. I don't know if it'll be in the same key that you're accustomed to, but
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, in the streams of abundance. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in my desert place, though I walk through
Closer to you each day through your word and through prayer and through fellowship with others. We want to see your face in the face of others, and we want to see your face when we look in the mirror. Amen. I apologize with the projector. Sometimes I kind of get caught up in the singing and the words, and I forget that. I apologize. The next song we're singing, All We Like Sheep. It's new, but it will have meaning with the message tonight.
He was despised, rejected.
Delivered by Jamie Gross. He's going to be sharing with us what he has learned about God from Finding Nemo.
Thank you, Susan. Finding Nemo, since about Christmas time, has been going on in our house nonstop. Susan was saying it hadn't even been a month since Christmas, and it seems like Nemo's always been a part of my life. And I don't know how to explain it, but I'm so thankful that Bryce is in our life. But Nemo is really in our life in a real way. I bet you we watch it. It probably just goes all the time. He's not always watching it, but it's got to be on. It's got to be in the background. It's all about fish. So I can't even tell you how many times we've seen Nemo. How many of y'all have seen Finding Nemo? So a bunch of you have. And for those that haven't, for those that have, you'll recognize the characters and the storyline. But for those that haven't, I think you might see in some of the characters things that we, just with the human experience, that we encounter on a daily basis. These characters struggle with a lot of things that we've struggled with in our lives. So really, Finding Nemo, and it's funny how God will speak to you through something. But for me, it was finding trust in Finding Nemo. Trust, as defined by the Webster's Dictionary, is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. Now, as Christians, I think that pretty readily translates into what we believe when we think about trusting in God. Dependence on something future or contingent, I think that's also a big part when we think of the word trust. We're waiting for something to happen. And these characters in Finding Nemo, they were waiting for something. And they're each waiting for something slightly different. But they were hoping something would happen, or in some cases, hope something would not happen, as we'll find out. In our society, we find trust. We put our trust in lots of things. And one is interest rates. And kids, this is more for the adults, but you'll learn about this pretty quick. Interest rates were pretty low not long ago, but they keep going up. And this is for real. There are people that have bought houses with these adjustable rate mortgages that maybe didn't know how they work, or maybe knew but didn't care, or just trusted that the rates were always be the same. Well, rates have gone up incrementally over the past several years, and so for the kids that translates into you pay more for your house, and you might pay more for your house each month. It might be more and more and more. And for folks that might not be able to afford or be able to drag home a lot of income to be able to compensate for that incremental increase, that could start to pinch. So we put our trust in the economy and our nation and things like that. We also put our, over on the right hand side, we put our trust in experts. Back during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even into the 60s, it was okay to smoke. The doctor said it's okay. You smoke. Edward R. Murrow, one of the major broadcasters, Susan used to talk about how that he'd be on TV and delivering the nightly newscast, have a cigarette in his hand. And you wouldn't see that today. We know a little bit more about cigarette smoke today. But back then, trust us. It's going to be okay. It's not going to hurt you. And over on the left-hand side, you know, the guy with the placard on his back probably walking around demonstrating, saying, trust Jesus. Well, you hear that. And that's part of what I'm talking about tonight, and part of what I think I found in Nemo and finding Nemo is trust. So you're hearing all these messages, trust this, trust that, put your trust in this. Well, what does the Word of God say about trust? Because that's what we're here to learn about tonight and to praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you in which way or which path to take. And then Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 19. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for us to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And so think about these scripture lessons, and we'll touch on them as we're going through this. Trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Trusting not in our own understanding. And that's difficult. Just talk about, like, with the interest rates, we trust in our own ability to plan for our own future. Well, sometimes it doesn't work that way. And whether that's financial decisions, or whether that's where you think about going to college, or thinking about maybe somebody that you've been dating, or a job, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. And but there's a deeper trust that I think we're called to look towards. Some of the characters in Nemo, I'd like to introduce them. This is Marlin over on the left, and he's one of the main characters, and that's his wife Coral on the right. Marlin, prior to some events happening in his life, pretty happy-go-lucky, pretty optimistic outlook. They were expecting a bunch of children. Those are all the eggs you can see down there. And but Coral's not in the picture too long. She leaves the movie pretty early. A barracuda comes along and some bad things happen, and he loses his wife Coral, and they lose all the eggs except for one. Marlin suffers some pretty terrible loss, and it affects them pretty dramatically. He's not the same fish after that. I find myself talking in terms of, like, fish instead of people, because that's Nemo's just floating around in my head. So this is Nemo on the left, and that's Marlin again on the right. So Nemo grows up from an egg, and then so Marlin has been pretty traumatized by the events of his life, and his reaction was to trust in his own understanding and just shut it down and just say, I can control this, and this is all we're going to do, and we're not going to live outside this box, and we're going to stay in this box, and Nemo, you're going to live in this box, and you're not going to venture out because it's bad out there, and I don't want you to get hurt, and I can control this box. So another life-changing event was when Nemo went off to school. That was real tough on Marlin. So Nemo goes off to school. That's Nemo over on the left, and he's got this stingray that's the teacher, and you know, he's this real witty professor, and all the kids in the class are real excited, and they're out on the reef, and it's an exciting place. Lots of stuff's going on the reef, if y'all are familiar with reefs, but they're right at the barrier of the reef. And so there is a huge drop-off, and it's just a wide-open ocean. And so I think that's kind of a metaphor for some of our lives sometimes, that we come to an event where we're in a little safe place, and there's a lot of activity, but there's this huge precipice, there's this huge drop-off out there that we might be faced with and that we don't get near. And the kids, they're pretty excited about it, and y'all might be excited about big drop-offs too, so you might kind of flirt with getting near the drop-off and then come back. That's what the kids do. Marlin was afraid Nemo was going to wind up being sushi, or I think he talks to grill him up as fries and chips. But you don't. He was pretty afraid. So that was a big deal when Nemo went off to school. But again, another major event in Marlin's life. Nemo did go to school. One day when he was at school, a diver came along and scooped up Nemo in a net, and the diver thought that here's this little fish struggling out on the reef, and you know, he doesn't have a good life, so I'm going to pick him up, I'm going to take him home and put him in a tank. diver didn't think anything about it. But the diver just scooped Nemo up, and then he's gone. And so Marlo lost his son, his only son, thinking all the way back to the beginning of the movie. You know, that was the only egg that was left. He lost his wife. Marlon, another big hit. Marlon was struggling pretty heavy with some of these things, and it affected him greatly. And enter another character, Dory. Now, Marlon tries to chase after the boat, and then he can't find the boat that Nemo's being carried off on. So he runs into Dory, and Dory is this fish that is willing to help Marlon. But Dory, she has short-term memory loss, and she's a really funny character. And you'll get to see her. We're going to do a video clip here. Dory, a little bit about Dory. She has short-term memory loss, so she can remember a few things, and some things will stick, but after a few minutes, she won't remember where she is, and she couldn't remember that she was even helping Marlon. So it was kind of funny. Neat thing about Dory, though, is although she has a disability, and she could be pretty much down in the dumps about her short-term memory loss, she has a lot of trust, and she doesn't really worry about things a whole lot. And maybe that's a blessing that she doesn't remember, because she doesn't remember all the bad stuff. But she has a heart like a child, and I think that really speaks to me. Is her trust is very childlike, and through this whole movie, she's trying to drag Marlon along and trying to teach him about what trust is and just to do it. But Marlon struggles with that, but you can kind of see why. He's been through some tough knocks in his life. Which leads us to the next point. So they're out searching for Nemo, trying to find him, and that's the title of the movie, Finding Nemo. But then they're out in this big, wide, expansive ocean, and all of a sudden they ask for... they see a little fish off in the distance, and they say, "Hey, little fish, can you give us directions? We're trying to get to Sydney." And, well, it's not a little fish. The closer it gets, it's a whale. And so they say, "Can you help us? Can you help us?" And then the Marlon's like, no, don't bring him over here. He's going to eat us. And so the whale disappears, and you don't see him. And all of a sudden, he comes up behind them, opens his mouth, and then swallows Marlon and Dory. So they're in the middle of this trip trying to find Nemo, and then suddenly they get swallowed by a big whale. And that leads us to the video section. They're in the whale at this point.
Funny thing you promised.
What?
Well, you can't never let anything happen to him. Then nothing would ever happen to him. Not much fun for little Harpo.
What's going on?
Don't know. I'll ask him.
You're gonna make things worse. What is that noise? Oh no. Look what you did. The water's going down. It's going down.
Really? You sure about that?
Look, already it's half empty.
I'd say it's half full.
Stop that! It's half empty!
Was a little tougher. He either said we should go to the back of the throat or he wants a root beer float.
Of course he wants us to go there. That's eating us. How do I taste, Moby? Huh? Do I taste good? You tell him I'm not interested in being lunch.
Okay. He...
Stop talking to him. What is going on?
Okay.
No, no more way. You can't speak well.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. You think you could do these things, but you can't, Nemo.
Okay.
Dory!
You. He says it's time to let go. Everything's going to be all right.
How do you know? How do you know something bad isn't going to happen?
See, Marlon's a pretty dejected fella. He was pretty down, and that was a pretty traumatic blow. He thought it was over with, that he'd never get to see his son, that his journey was over with. But Dory still had trust, and she still believed, and she believed in maybe in her own abilities and understanding, but she had a belief that everything was going to be okay. Couple of lessons in there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and depend not on your own understanding. I think that could go for maybe as we experience things and try to we need to trust in God and trust in Him rather than maybe how we think we ought to handle something and pray for guidance and just turn it over to Him and just let go. Like kind of close his eyes and just let go. We kind of need to do that. But also, for me, I see a cautionary tale in that maybe I don't need to be like Marlon when there's a Dory in my life that trusts and is wanting to go and do and has that trust not to hold them back and grab them by the fin when they're trying to let go too. And so, or try to impose what I believe my own understanding to be and try to circumvent God's will. So I get that out of it as well. In conclusion, I'd like to read something from the Life Application Study Bible. They gave this to me when I graduated school. And this is the church did, and this has been really, really neat. It has lots of neat footers in there that talks about all kinds of things and elaborates on Scripture. But back to the Ephesians chapter 3:17-19, and talking about Paul. God's love is total, says Paul. It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out into the whole world. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. His love is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. And His love is deep, too. It reaches to the depths of our discouragement, despair, and even death. When you feel shut out or isolated, remember that you can never be lost to God's love. And that's what I found in finding Nemo.
For our meditative prayer tonight, at Set a Place, we're going to stay in our seats, but I want people to get into a relaxed, prayerful position. And as we meditate tonight, I want us to meditate upon what are we not letting go of? What are we holding on to and not trusting God to take over in our lives? What are we trying to keep in the box? What tonight can we give God and let go? And even though we don't know if something bad's going to happen, that we trust fully in God, that we can let go and give to Him. Let us pray. trust and obey. If you want to follow along, it's also in your hymnal number 349. We'll be singing the first and second verse. Requests this evening. Has a hurt arm. Do you have an update, Jennifer, on his treatment? And I don't know what was the name again? The Morgans. And was it the mother that passed away? No, the father. Father who was 45. He gave it to me on a sheet of paper and I left it in my office. Okay. Are there others? Yes. You said you don't. You said you did, or you didn't have a name. Are there others? Yes. Yes, I don't know if you heard Jennifer's prayer. Her prayer request was for our president, Congress, and our nation. We love you too, Miss Allen. Thank you. Good to hear that report too, that he came through so well. Are there others? Pam, would you close us in prayer? last song tonight, Only Trust Him. The Renaissance singing group from Bethel College will be here this weekend, and we need places for 8 girls and 5 boys to stay. If you have available space, please sign up, and I'll set this down here. And they'll be doing a lot of stuff, so they won't be just hanging out at your house. But it's for Saturday and Sunday night, and yes. If you can, if not, well, I know Saturday night. Talk to my father. I know you don't have to sign up for both nights. If you can only do one night, then that's fine. You can only do one night. But if no one signs up tonight, he may be calling you tomorrow, so you may not want to call. But this is, I'll just leave this down here, and something else. Oh, we still have some spaces available for the season of Lent, if you would like to share a devotion. We'd love to have you share what God is speaking through you. And you're dismissed. Good night.
Thank you.